Your heart beats faster and faster.
Welcome back, everybody. Double, double, talent and trouble, fryer burning, cauldron bubble. That's William Shakespeare, guys, from Macbeth, in case you were wondering. And this is the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show.
Wow, I've never heard Shakespeare done quite that way before, but this is Paranormal Broadcasting, where all our morals, hopes, and dreams have been washed away by the beer and whiskey prior to the show.
That sounds like a country song, little brother. Country song. Hey, gang, of course, we are back live in studio, me and my brother, and we'll be in the Genie chat room all night long.
Oh, yeah, and you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
And this is the Ghostman, Sean B.
And this is Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
And this is Sunday's September 7th broadcast of a little show.
Ooh, that's right. The Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Charlotte Burris, and is broadcast live on Omnisound, KarmaCast, Planet Paranormal, and that's about it. Radio, but it's also recorded for. Planet Paranormal. Well, you know, I'm just no good tonight. Planet Paranormal. Para X Radio, and what screwed me up was this new one that we've added to the list, and that is Black Vault Radio.
Black Vault?
That's right.
Thanks for coming over, Black Vault, but are we ready for tonight's guest, everybody?
I have no idea.
Okay, guys, here we go. Tonight's guest, first up, one of the stars from the Booth Brothers film Children of the Grave, Mr. Brian Wilson Sr. He'll be talking about all his dark adventures while they were filming the show. Then later tonight, a double shot of paranormal. That's right, two paranormal chicks for the price of one. First off, founder of the Nevada Paranormal Research Team and manager of the upcoming Paracon 08. She's going to be in the house with the Ghostman and Demon Hunter. And then Janice Oberding, author of The Haunting of Las Vegas, and a 30-year veteran of the paranormal field, guys. She stops by to say, what up with the Ghostman and Demon Hunter?
Wow. How are we going to fit all that in?
I don't know. We got to, though, somehow.
All right. Well, we'll make it happen, because the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Original Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter. Oh, it's so good to be back in studio, everybody. Hey, everybody, tonight, thanks for joining us on what's sure to be another great episode of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
You think so? Are you you really sure it's sure to be that, Sean?
I'm not sure about anything, but you know what? We were out of studio last weekend.
That's right.
And we got a lot of emails and stuff like that from our fans. And, guys, it means the world to us that they wanted us back on the air. They couldn't stand it. I think it's a huge portion of the feeling I get about doing this show. When I see fan feedback and we became part of these folks' lives, it means a lot to me, man. It means a lot to me. That's all I can say. Plus, I'd like to come to their house and sleep with them. That's kind of what I'd like to do.
Oh,
so.
Sean.
What?
The comments of Sean Burris do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
I guess we had to get it out of the way early on in the show. It's all right. All right, anyway.
You gotta say, it gives you the warm fuzzy, though, when everybody out there, you know, they're saying, hey, man, you know, we miss your show. We want you guys back here, and everything. But Demon Hunter, I want to say before we get started tonight, we are drinking from the G&D show winery, or brewery, actually, the Coors Light. I'm going to go ahead and crack that open. Guys, remember, Coors Light for all your party needs. Great taste that won't slow you down. That's right.
Is that the G&D show beer of the week, Sean?
Head for the mountains. Yeah, that is. It is.
Well, that's okay. I just lit up a Perdomo Champagne Cabinet Series cigar, so I'll be enjoying that tonight as we go on. So
Did you say Shadobo? Shadobo.
Perdomo.
Shadobo.
Purr, like a cat purrs.
Purr.
Perdomo.
Perdomo.
There you go. Perdomo Champagne Cabinet Series cigar.
That's kind of ritzy.
It is very ritzy, actually. It's a very yummy cigar. It's the lightest cigar they make in that series, and it's even a little strong for me. So
let's just say if the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter were in a bar and that Perdomo walked in and it was a lady, I'd say she's way out of our league. You know what I'm saying? We'd go for it anyway.
Sure we would, Sean. Sure we would. Of course we would.
Hey, Kenny B just said that was the fastest time for Sean's disclaimer ever. He just made history, man.
Well, at least I know we're broadcasting tonight. You know?
Well, absolutely. Hey, Demon Hunter, let's give a shout-out because I forget every week, brother. I got one job to do, guys, and that's to make you laugh and to give shout-outs every week, and I never do one of the two. Usually it's you guys decide. But anyway, we got Ghost Chaser, we got Bear Wolf, we got Kenny B, Witchy Gator, April Harris, good friend of the show, April Harris, and Muldoon in the house. Thanks, guys, for joining us on a great... I already said that. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter.
How's that Ghost Man and Demon Hunter beer of the week there, Sean?
You know what? It's tasting really good. Actually, I was right outside the Lucas Oil Stadium today. I was parking cars, guys, moments before I rushed into the studio. Of course, that is the home, the new home of the Indianapolis Colts, your Super Bowl champion, Indianapolis Colts. And I got that on here in the studio. In the background, they're playing the Chicago Bears today, so it's the 07 repeat of the Super Bowl, guys. That won't interfere with the show, don't worry, but it is in the background. And I got to say, Demon Hunter, this is the last week to be doing this show, our show, from the Ghost Man side of the studio.
Oh, that's right, that's right. The Ghost Man studio is moving.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not sure. You may not even be in the new studio by next week. We may need to do a little phone work there.
We might have to, but I'm sure I'll have it up and running, guys. Very confident. But we're moving into a new house. It was built in 1940. And if it's not haunted, folks, I'll eat your shoestrings. There's got to be something going on there. I mean, it's just an old house, and I got the whole basement to myself to do the show. So the studio is going to get a lot bigger.
Well, that's awesome. That is great.
It is great. It is great. If we got a couple of ghosts out there, we'll be... We'll be doing okay. But you know who I brought back this week, too, Demon Hunter? You ready for this?
I'm afraid to ask.
But she's did you hear her?
I heard her.
Okay, well, that's the G&D show Banshee. That's our news lady. That's our news ghost, guys. And she'll be coming out a little bit later to bring in our news stories. But I loved her so much, Demon Hunter. I had to bring her back, man.
I'm sure she needed the work, Sean. I'm sure she needed the work, so it's okay.
She just kind of lying around all day, you know. Get it? Lying around all day.
Now, Sean, if she was a big cat and you'd said she was lying around all day, I would have gotten the joke. But
right. Well, a dead chick laying around all day.
Yeah, you could have said something else, Sean. It's okay. It's okay.
Oh, I gotta tell you, man. I was driving into the studios, the GD Show studios today, guys, and I swear to you. This was my weekend with the kids, so I was taking the kids back to meet Satan, and I was dropping them off with Satan, and I was coming back, and I seen a UFO.
And, you know, Sean, I don't recommend that people drive their children in the car when they've been drinking, but tell us more.
I was not drinking. I never would do that, guys, but I seen... what it looked like, it was a bunch of big, fluffy white clouds. A beautiful day here in central Indiana in the Midwest. Gorgeous, gorgeous weather. And I seen a black cloud, what it looked like. And I was concerned. I was talking to Stacey Kay on the phone. I had another person on the phone. I was talking to him. I was going, oh, my God, I'm seeing this UFO. And it was low to the ground. Well, I got around the corner, and I realized I didn't bring my glasses. So I seen the little crop duster pulling the sign. So it was an unidentified Eat at Joe's Crab Shack sign that was flying across
the... You know, I've seen those UFOs while I was down at the Jersey Shore, too, Sean. They fly over the beach and...
Right, right. So what's going on, Demon Hunter? It's been 2 weeks since you've been on the air.
It's been 2 weeks, and like I said, I needed to take last week off because I was off doing a little filming for Comcast.
Yeah.
And that actually leads in... I know you normally start with the news, and then I go to our weird location of the week, but I figured I'd talk about our weird location of the week first, since that goes into the fact of where I was filming this last week. Let's just go into it, then. I was out at Hell Hollow Road in Voluntown, Connecticut.
Ooh.
And, you know, I was looking for it. There's some information in Weird U.S. on it, in Weird New England. But I didn't see it on the website. I might have missed it. But it is actually a well-known road for hauntings in Voluntown, Connecticut. And many of the hauntings are said to be caused by a witch named Maud. Now, when I did a little research, I found out it's kind of tough for Maud to be a witch, considering she died when she was about 2 to 3 years old. She she died in her bed at night. The doctor said it was diphtheria, which is a swelling of the throat. Her parents said she died choking on an apple. It was never determined which it was. It could have been both of them. Her throat could have swollen up, and she choked on the apple. But the body...
Now, what are we talking about here? The throat swelling up. This.
Would you listen to my stuff from the beginning to the end so you don't make dirty comments about a 2-year-old child, Sean?
Mm.
There, see?
Well, we don't know she was 2 years old, though.
Yes, we do. She was about 2 to 3 years old. And she died of either diphtheria or choking on this apple. And when she died, they didn't bury her in the graveyard, which was one of the things that led to the belief of her being a witch. However, there has been a screaming woman heard in the woods, which some people believe is Maud's mother. Some people believe it's Maud screaming herself, and some people believe it's an Indian girl who was killed in the woods nearby.
Right.
Along with this, shadow figures have been seen. Soldiers from the area, from the Revolutionary War time, have been seen. So it's a really, really interesting road. If you drive down the road, it's just covered in trees, so you it's like driving through a tunnel, and you get this really haunted feeling just driving down. But I got to go down there and do some filming and check out Maud's grave, and it feels like everything you would think it was going to. So it's pretty cool. And I would say if you get the chance, if you're out in Voluntown, Connecticut, by the way, little known fact, the land was actually given to volunteer soldiers who had returned from fighting Indians. So Voluntown, they were volunteers. It became Voluntown, but the land was considered no good to grow anything on. So
is that what they named the town after?
Well,
the volunteers.
Yep. So the government, since nobody could grow anything on it, the government gave it to these soldiers in lieu of pay. So the government gave them nothing. So,
right.
But it's great, and you can check it out in some of the Weird U.S. books, or you could head on out there to Voluntown, Connecticut, or you could head on over to our friends Mark and Mark at Weird U.S. and WeirdUS.com. Tell them the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter sent you.
Absolutely. You know what, Demon Hunter? I was just looking at their Weird New Jersey book today. We haven't talked to those cats for a while.
We haven't. We really got to get them on the phone or something.
Yeah, because I seen their board game, man, out at Barnes & Noble's the other day. Because you guys need to run out and get the Weird U.S. board game right away. It's going to be a collector's items, guys. You got to go out and get it. It's only like $20-$30.
Chrissy and I play it all the time. It's one of her favorite games.
See? Does it still have the lady that's well endowed? She's had the little pieces.
Yes, the spinner. The spinner that goes on the top is a half of a woman. I think she's supposed to be a banshee or something herself.
The better half.
The problem is she's got two fingers pointing out, and you got to figure out which one you're spinning with and which one you're going to land on. It's
See? When do we get our board game? That's what I'm waiting on.
Well, you know, that's a while to come, Sean, but I think you can pick it up. You can pick it up at Spencer's right now. It looks like a checkerboard, and it's got shot glasses on it. So, yeah, I think you can pick up that and just write Ghostman and Demon Hunter across it. So,
Well, if you guys are ready for this, I'm going to have the G&D show Banshee. Banshee, I'm going to have her bring in the news of the week, guys. Hold on one. Here she comes. Okay, okay.
Funny, that's the sound most women make when Sean calls them.
But she brought in the story, guys. She brought in the story of the week. And we got it up here, guys. It says, aliens are real. And, of course, this comes out of Sun Magazine. That's the greatest magazine ever. Aliens are real. And so the government cover-up says Apollo astronaut. Okay, they said, one of the first men on the moon has declared that aliens have contacted Earth and that the government has covered up the encounters for more than 60 years, Demon Hunter. Dr. Edgar Mitchell, who piloted the lunar module for the Apollo 14 mission, announced that he had knowledge of many UFO visits that were quickly covered up by authorities. We've been visited on this planet, and the UFO phenomena is real, Mitchell revealed in a recent radio interview. It's been well covered up by all our governments for the last 60 years or so, but slowly it's leaked out, and some of us have been privileged to have been briefed on some of it. The 77-year-old NASA scientist described aliens as little people who look strange to us, kind of like Demon Hunter. Their technology is so advanced, he added. Had they been hostile, we would have been gone by now. Mitchell's revelations came on the heels of new disclosures from high-level analysis for Project Black Book, the top-secret government probe into the UFO phenomena. Over the past 3 years, we've tracked numerous UFOs flying near sensitive government facilities, says an insider. Three unknown objects flew past military bases in Maryland and Virginia at a higher rate of speed on the course that would take them to the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. On four separate occasions, cigar-shaped craft blinked in and out. Okay, no Clinton jokes here, guys. Cigar-shaped craft blinked in and out of the sky over southern Nevada near Area 51, and no less than 23 incidents were recorded at other bases. If alien visitors were holding...
Go ahead, Sean.
Wait a second. I missed my place there. Holding meetings with military agencies. This is exactly what it would look like, guys. So there you go. You got aliens. They're meeting with the government's tie-ups out there at these alien bases. And aliens are real, guys. Yeah, I mean, that's the guy right there. He said it, Dr. Edgar Mitchell. He was one of the pilots on the Apollo 14 mission.
There you go. Does it say anything about them dragging big signs behind the ships there, Sean? Because maybe that's how they're contacting us.
Well, here's the way I'm thinking of it. If aliens are coming to our planet, I mean, times are tough, guys. Prices and fuel rise, stuff like that. So if you're going to be flying out anyway, why not put a Joe's Crab Shack sign on the back of your plane or a Ghost Man Demon Hunter show live at 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Sunday night? Why not do that?
Hey, do you think maybe this whole cover-up is because they have a new form of fuel and those the oil companies that everybody's complaining about are covering up the aliens so that they can't bring in a new fuel and stop this oil shortage?
It could be. I think it's a UFO conspiracy. I think they want us to get off the fuel, the raw oil, crude oil. They want us to switch to something that's more good for the planet.
Yeah, I want my dilithium crystals, and I want them now, I tell you.
See, I don't know. I don't know. But the gas prices here in Indiana at least have dropped to like $3.65.
Yeah, we're not doing that much worse here in Connecticut, around $3.70, so...
That's not bad. But second up, guys, we got another story. Blind man cured by falling cat. Demon Hunter, this one's for you. In a double miracle, a cat survived a plunge from a 40-story balcony and restored the sight of a man who had been blind since birth. Madjorie Nettles, pet Pussy Pom Pom, escaped from her high-rise apartment in Chicago and was tiptoeing around the edge of the balcony when a gust of wind blew her into the air. The cat plunged 594 feet and landed on the head of a telephone marketer, John Bilbo, who was tip-tapping his way along the street with his white cane. The impact knocked both Bilbo and the cat unconscious. An alarmed passerby called 911. Bilbo regained consciousness and in the hospital was stunned. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right, he was stunned to realize he could see for the first time in his life. It was a miracle, he says. I looked at the doctors and nurses. I never realized people came in so many different shapes and sizes, Bilbo 42 admits. He had a moment of panic when a nurse told him his wife had been informed and was on her way to the hospital. I'd never seen her before, he says. But if she was ugly, what if she was ugly? But once he laid eyes on his pretty wife of 10 years, he was reassured. He sustained nothing but a minor concussion and was released from the hospital the next day to begin his new life. Pom-Pom, oh, I'm sorry, the pussy Pom-Pom, this is in the story, suffered a painful tail sprain but is on the mend. So Pom-Pom is good, and apparently so is Mr. Bilbo. I just want everybody to know that comes from
I just think it's funny that he was more concerned about if she was ugly and was relieved when she was cute. I think that's great.
She was smoking hot. I mean, honestly, if you couldn't see all your life and you were married to a woman and all of a sudden you woke up, would you want a 10,000-pound beast or would you like an exotic dancer? You be the judge there, Demon Hunter.
I'll be the judge, Sean. I will.
You do that. There. That's for you, and that's for the rest of the people listening. Yeah. Oh, but that's all we got. So a big special thanks to the G&D Show Banshee. Thank you. There she goes, folks. Have a good night, Glinda. That's her name now, Glinda. I've named her Glinda. So... But she's always there in a pinch. She brings me out the news stuff now, guys. So what else is going on, Demon Hunter?
Oh, not a lot, man. We've got a lot of stuff coming up. We're going to be heading out to the Mid-South Paranormal Conference. That's coming up in just a few weeks. And then we've got... what else do we have coming up? We're going out there to see the filming or the release of the... American Ghost Watchers 2 movie.
That you were in, sir.
Well, you were in it more than I was.
No. I think we were both in it equally. I'm ready for this, guys. And that Demon Hunter brings up a good point. September 26th through the 28th at the beautiful... No, I forget the name of the hotel. Mid-South Paranormal Convention. And do you remember the name of the hotel, Demon Hunter?
I do not remember the name of the hotel, but people can check it out by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and clicking on the website, the link for the Mid-South Paranormal Conference.
Right, absolutely, guys. It's going to be a good one because Friday night's going to – you got to get there Friday night. That's going to be the party. It's going to be the big movie release. I doubt seriously that me and Demon Hunter will remember much of anything, but we will be there, guys. And Keith Age knows how to throw a party. What can I say?
I don't know, Sean. I'm actually working. Some people said they heard some feedback, and you were cutting in and out, so I'm working on that right now. But I'm looking forward to it, Sean. I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to seeing American Ghost Watchers. And like I said, we've got to send our thanks out to our friends out there at Black Vault, the Black Vault Radio Network, who have picked us up. You can find us there now anytime you're looking for some interesting paranormal news or programming. You can check out Black Vault Radio Network. And it is www.blackvault.com.
Black Vault. That sounds like something that...
That sounds like something where you keep your film, Sean, so I don't want to hear any more about it, okay?
You don't want to see my film.
Your collection is off limits to anyone under 35. That's it.
And we'll be selling that on eBay under the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show title. So, guys, if you want any of my secret vault films, Black Vault films, then... No, Geraldo! Remember when we were kids, guys? Geraldo Rivera did the... Al Pacino, Al Capone vault.
Yes, and he found two whole bottles left over from the
Prohibition
that were empty. They didn't even have anything in them. I mean, you would think after that disaster of that show, he would have at least been able to find something he could have drank to get over it. But
yeah, I would at least bought a couple 40s and put it in there if I could find, you know, an old dirty skull, something. But what are you going to do, man? That's what it is. But like I said, guys, I was out driving around today, and I drove past a couple old cemeteries and stuff out here in Indiana. And it's just a good time to be alive, guys. You got the weather starting to change. The leaves are starting to change. God, this is why I got into ghost hunting. I seen that today, Demon Hunter.
I'm proud of you.
I did. I seen you got all these leaves starting to change out here, at least in the Midwest. And you have... all these cemeteries just waiting out there. And I remember the day when I used to be able to go out there with the groups that I was with and take my recorder and do EVP samples and try to get something on tape and take pictures. That was back in the day of the orbs, you guys. The orbs were high and mighty. They were riding high. And, of course, now we know that orbs are nothing more usually than dust or pollen or whatever. But it's a different time now, guys, and I just can't wait to get back out there. It's got me all psyched up. I want to do some investigating.
I'm sure you do, Sean, and I'm looking forward to doing some investigating, too.
You got something coming up?
I am going to be doing some investigating, hopefully going up to one of my favorite places to investigate here in Connecticut, which is still a private spot that the people don't let the information out. But I've gotten more EVPs in this location than I've gotten anywhere else. And I'm going to head up there, and hopefully very soon I will be able to release the information about this location, and people will know about this haunted spot.
You know, everybody keeps emailing me, Demon Hunter, and they want to know when we're going back to Whispers Estate, and I don't know what to tell them because our schedule's been so hectic, and everything's going on, guys. But I would love to plan a big outing where we all got together and went out to Whispers Estate again. The only place that I've been to where the dead speak without a recorder or any kind of middleman. They just come right out and say whatever's on their mind. And a lot of people have been asking me about that, asking me what's going on out there, guys. Guys, I have not been out there since November. And when I went out there in November, myself and Demon Hunter, what we got is up on our website, our MySpace page. And you guys can pick that up. You can listen to it at any time. But I haven't been out there since then. It's under new management now. But I think you can still get a hold of them at whispersestate.com. And I'm telling you, it's well worth the visit. So if you go out there, tell them the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show sent you for sure. But that's just a real spooky house. It's a real, I mean, haunted or not, residual, intelligent, whatever. There's something going on out there, guys. And we need somebody to come forward and break the case. Let us know what's going on.
Well, very, very cool, Sean. And, you know, some other stuff that we should be looking into is getting some cool places. I want people to send us information, log into our forum, and I've asked some questions on there on the forum of what are some of the scariest places you've been to, what are some of the craziest things you've heard of in the paranormal, because we're looking to get some information on that. And also go check out our website, www.ghostanddemon.com, because I've added I'm working on a photo page right now. I haven't gotten any captions up or anything, but I've added a video page, Sean. So people can go check out some video we've added, and it should just be a fun time, some of the stuff we've got coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. I know he's asking questions about that, guys, because we wanted to know just kind of stuff. You know, when we were kids, you play with the Ouija board, or you do light as a feather, stiff as a board. There's got to be some more stuff out there. You got all kinds of stuff going on out there. Me and Demon Hunter want to hear about your experiences doing this stuff when you were younger. So go into the forums and post it. Let us know some of the games you played back in high school, back in college, and what happened. All the weird stuff, man, because I've heard some humdingers. I mean, I've heard all kinds of people said they played with the Ouija board and the planchette flew off the board, or they were playing light as a feather, stiff as a board, and the cat floated all the way up to the ceiling, and his nose was touching the fire detector, you know. So I've never seen anything like that, Demon Hunter.
Me either, and you hear all these great stories, and I'd like to find out some more about them, because like you and I said, I've seen some weird stuff, Sean. You and I have both seen some weird stuff. We've seen stuff move. We've seen people change. We've seen just odd stuff happen, but these really bizarre stories, haven't seen anything really come of them.
And they got to be out there, Demon Hunter. They got to, because this world is a big, strange, loving cesspool of... Did I say loving?
A loving cesspool. Yes, you did.
Cesspool of love and paranormal. But you got to find it, guys. The paranormal was out there. I went to a party last night, Demon Hunter, and I was sitting around. And, of course, if you're a ghostbuster or a ghost hunter or whatever, people always want to buddy up to you. They want to hear your stories. So I was telling the stories about some of the stuff I did. And I keep telling them, if you guys really want to see this stuff, you got to go out there on your own. You got to do it, because I didn't start believing until I went out there on my own and seen this stuff is real, guys. It happens on a daily basis, and there's a lot of families and a lot of people out there that live with this stuff every day. But until you go out there on your own, you'll never know.
Hey, we even have a call-in number that, you know, we paid for it. People might as well use it. Give us a call at 203, trying to remember our off-air number. Nobody ever uses it. 203-599-1875. If you have a great story, call and tell us about it. You can just leave it on the voicemail.
Absolutely. Hey, we want to hear it.
Go ahead.
I said, we want to hear it, guys.
That's right, we do. And, you know, also, we might as well hear right now, since we're sitting around trying to get stuff done, we might as well hear some promos and then go to hear our good friend Gigi with some Inside the Horror.
Okay, guys, stick around. Gigi's up next with zombie sex and more. Stay tuned.
Join the entire crew from TV Scared at Unicon 08, September 11th through the 14th at the Penn Stater Conference Center and Hotel, State College, Pennsylvania. Come and meet the crew that started it all. Part paranormal investigator, part urban explorer. The Scared crew knows no bounds. Stop by and say hi to the gang. One lucky winner will get an 80-gig iPod Classic, preloaded and ready to play with all your favorite Scared episodes. You can also sign up for a personal spiritual reading with Scared lead psychic Lisa Ann. Reserve your place in advance by going to scaredonline.com. While you're there, get the latest Scared episodes on DVD with amazing investigations and locations. Each DVD is packed with extra features like director commentary and behind-the-scenes sneak peeks. The entire Scared crew will be on hand at Unicon 08 for photos, autographs, and question-and-answer sessions. To obtain some great new Scared essentials, visit scaredonline.com.
Beacons of Tomorrow presents Deconstructing Fireflies, a post-apocalyptic short story by the Ghostman and Demon Hunter shows Nathan Schoonover and Christy Peterson. Bees are real, birds are not. Deer heads rot on rooftops under the blazing sun. Chickens explode, and one stricken little boy searches in unlikely places for the souls of the mechanical animals his father creates. This unsettling tale is now available in the speculative fiction anthology Beacons of Tomorrow, Second Collection. Buy your copy at TyrannosaurusPress.com, Amazon.com, Tower.com, and most online book retailers now. Beacons of Tomorrow, Second Collection. It's a vision of the future so grotesque, you won't be able to look away.
This is Charlie Carlson, Florida's Master of the Weird and producer of Henry Blackheart is Dead. And you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
What?
Nothing.
The music stopped.
And you didn't have a chair, so you're out. Get off the air.
I know it. Musical chairs. Oh, my God. What's going on, everybody? Okay. I'm better now.
That's why we didn't let you have a chair again, Sean. You kept doing that.
Well, that's what you guys do. You love me. That's how I bring it out. But Demon Hunter, you know, we got Charlie Carlson. That cat's weird, man. I got a call tonight from the professor. Actually, we know the Professor Slim King. I haven't got a chance to call him back, but he said, Ghostman Demon Hunter, I got good news. Call me right away. And I haven't called him.
Well, that just goes to show you how much we can trust Sean there to make those important phone calls.
Yeah, I'm here to pitch.
Well, you know what else I can trust you for, Sean? And that's to ask that important question of the evening. Or not.
The crickets? What is it?
Well, it was supposed to be.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Yo! Twin City! Yo! Voice 5-9. Y'all wanna make a movie?
Yeah, we got the film. There we go!
What's going on, guys?
Oh, not much, Gigi. How are you?
I am awesome. I actually, you know, I'm new in the show here. I got stuff, you know, my mic set up and I got all the stuff set out. But on the TV next to me, on mute, I have the Chicago Bears versus the Indianapolis Colts.
That's my girl. I love you.
Hey, what's up with the new stadium, man? Like, when I lived there, they were building it. It opens after I leave. What's up with that? That's not cool.
Yeah, man. It's got the retractable roof on it and everything. I'm watching it now. It's showing the top half of the
Gillette. Yeah, I see that.
Oh, no wonder the show's going a little slow. All my co-hosts are watching TV during the radio show. That's great.
Well, You know what, Gigi? Stacy K, she works down there, so she parks cars.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we're talking big money. So I was down there today parking cars with her, and you should have seen these Colts fans and Bears fans come there. I mean, it was ruthless, man. It was rough.
Oh, my God. I can imagine, because, like, I get in trouble all the time up here because I'm a Colts fan. So, you know, I constantly get people attacking me, and I'm like, yeah, whatever.
It looks like the Bears are up right now, sweetheart, so.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, well, hey, I'm a Bears fan by heart, you know. 85 Bears, Walter Payton. I'm totally a Bears fan from childhood. But, hey, when I lived in Indianapolis, man, I got behind the Colts. That was a good team, so.
See, because you're a good woman. That's why you know when you live somewhere, you support the home team. But, see, Gigi, she can go back and forth because she's just as much a Hoosier as she is a, what's the name? Chicago Light? Chicago White? Whatever.
I don't know. It depends what part of the country you're from is what we're called. Like, I suppose Bonnie would call us blights on society. I don't know.
It's 10-6.
You got to be careful calling her a Hoosier. You got to be careful calling her a Hoosier, though, Sean. She lives in Chicago. Somebody finds out, there's liable to be a drive-by. You know,
yeah,
you got to protect Gigi.
I keep that under wraps. I can't have that getting out. So
I don't want to get hurt. I don't want Gigi hurt. I need her. Did you hear? I'm just getting ready to move.
I've been hearing, like, I've been hearing from everybody but you.
I know. I close on the new G&D Show studio on the 15th of September, and there will be a extravaganza at the house, guys. With listeners, everybody involved, we're going to have everybody out, and we're just going to hoop it up and say, G&D another 30 years.
Well, even though we're going to have to broadcast from there. Like, when you get it, we're going to have to broadcast first.
We're going to have to. Naked.
You mean I've got to pack up the whole studio and take it out there? And
yes. You know, I feel bad for Nathan, because every time we go somewhere, Gigi, he's the one that's always got to fill up these bags with stuff and check them on the aircraft, you know?
Here's me and Sean. What's the matter? Why are you walking so slow? Because I'm carrying 50,000 bags of stuff. Ah, you're fine.
It's so funny, too, because they allow 50 pounds. So I've got two suitcases full. I can't bring clothes. I stuff one pair of underwear and socks inside my overnight bag and carry it on with me. And then the other overnight bag I have is stuffed full of the computer equipment for the show. And then I've got two bags loaded with studio equipment, which each weigh 49.5 pounds. So there's no room for me to bring
anything else. The G&D Show airline is the only one that does that. The rest of them are from 1 pound to whatever they're charging.
Yeah, what's up with this, what was it, American Airlines charging like $50 a bag?
I don't know, man. That's nuts.
And I was like,
it's getting to the point where it's cheaper to fly somewhere and buy clothes for the weekend
than
fly home and leave the clothes behind when you fly back.
You know what? That's actually what I'm going to do next time. I'm going to go somewhere and buy clothes there. You gave me a brilliant idea. I'm going to do this and see what happens.
Find a TJ Maxx or something. Can we say TJ Maxx on the air? Well, we're going to say
it. Walmart. Give me a Walmart.
I found out what Victoria's Secret is.
What's that, Sean?
She's a man. Thank you.
Conversation we had.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghost Man and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
I just don't want to get sued by Victoria there. It's all,
whatever. She's a man, man.
She's a man, baby. She's a man. Oh,
what's
my God.
What's going on, Gigi?
Insanity. Just insanity. Because, you know, Halloween's coming up, right?
Yeah.
So I've got so much stuff going on, and I'm, like, insane. I'm like, all right, calm down one thing at a time. But this has been nuts because we weren't on last week, right? And then I was traveling the week before, so I'm all discombobulated with my movies and stuff. I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Sean's like, yeah.
He's too busy watching the Colts game.
That's what he's just like, yeah, I'm not listening to Gigi. Screw this.
I'm right here, 100%.
Are you watching the little toe tap over the line here?
Yeah, can you believe that?
This is ridiculous. I can't handle this. The Colts are playing all sloppy. Maybe my review should be on the Colts playing this first game of the season. What is this?
Maybe, you know, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be the show for tonight. We're going to end so everybody can go watch the Colts game.
Yeah, let's do that.
No, but I went and saw so many movies because I had to catch up from being gone. And, I mean, there really isn't anything to review that's out because, you know, I reviewed Mirrors, you know, last time or whatever. But really, there's nothing going on. But there is a bunch of other movies that aren't paranormal, really. But I don't know. I guess you could spin it depending what it is, but
sure, why not? We let you get away with Harry Potter. Go ahead.
Come on, that's magic. That's sorcery. Hey, it's in there. Okay, I'm just gonna give everybody a little lowdown in case you're going to see it. I have not seen Clone Wars yet. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I just haven't had time. But I don't know if people do this, but they actually play Clone Wars all the time on Cartoon Network. So I don't know.
Yeah, I remember seeing it late at night on Cartoon Network, but I thought this might be something different.
Oh, like they added things or whatever?
Yeah.
No, it's pretty much the same thing. It's just it's in two installments, and you buy it sort of in two installments. I think they just sort of put it together for the movie.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I could be wrong on that, but whatever. Like, I'm pretty sure that's what it is, though. Disaster movie, Blue, just like every other movie like it, so don't go see that, trust me. Okay, I do have to say, though, I have to mention this because I forgot to tell you guys last time, Tropic Thunder, okay, if it was not for one person, this movie would suck. Oh, my God, Tom Cruise is freaking funny. He saves the movie.
Tom Cruise. I didn't know he was in it.
He is. He plays the studio exec, right? He's got, like, his bald cap on. He's got the glasses. He's got the beer belly thing. So he's, you know, I mean, you could tell it's him, but it's trying to make to look not like him. But it's the whole movie is pretty interesting. And, I mean, there is a couple of gags here or there, but as far as comedy on a whole, you're kind of like, I'm missing something, you know? He comes in. I can't even repeat on air what he says because it's just obscenities. But if you loop them all together, that should be the movie. Oh, my God, is it hysterical. Like, it's just like, God, I can't even do the impression for you because we'll have the, you know, we'll have every major networking thing coming after us. We'll be shut down. They'll burn the studios down. Oh, my God. You need to see
it. Basically, last week. Okay.
No, you guys, you need to see it for Tom Cruise. The stuff he says, I swear to God, it's hysterical. I was cracking up. I was like, oh, my God, Tom Cruise is actually funny. Who knew, you know? So he's made horrible movie after horrible movie the last 10 years. And here we go. I'm like, oh, Tom Cruise is in it. Well, I'm not expecting much. Then all of a sudden he comes on, and he's got this tiny little role, and that's it. it takes the movie away, man.
Right.
Are you?
No, I wanted to go see that because, you know, you got Jack Black in it. You got all kinds of funny cats in that show, and I want to go see Tropic Thunder. I mean, there's all these shows out there, but I chose The Batman.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Dark Knight. Oh, yeah.
The Dark Knight, because it was just mysterious, it was spooky, it had it all in there. It was tough. Although, we talked about the speech impediment by Scott Baio. Is that his name, Scott Baio?
I'm like, who? What? Yeah, Scott Baio was in the movie? And I missed
no,
it?
No! The Batman. He's like, I'm the Batman.
Oh, Christian Bale,
yeah.
Scott Baio.
He tries to do the Batman voice, and you know he's saying something really cool, but you're like, man, I don't understand you, but yeah, right? It feels
it's
good.
The only, like, downside of that movie, you're like, that's stupid. Why are you doing that? Stop it. But you remember how ape I went over that when it came out? Oh, my God. I was ape on your show. I did the Gigi show just all about Batman. I was nuts when it came out. That's you need to see that in theaters. But, dude, Tropic Thunder, go check it out. I'm serious. Just tell me. Next time you see it, tell me if you think Tom Cruise just made the movie. Because I swear to God, that's hysterical. But I actually do have a point for this review. So I'm not actually reviewing Tropic Thunder because I know Nathan's, like, checking his pulse going, oh, God, oh, God. Tropic Thunder. Oh, God. He's like,
I'm sorry. I was watching TV over here. So The Family Guy is on, so I figured I'd turn it on and check it out.
Good. You're all right. And by the way, the Bears just made a completion for a first down. There you go.
GG
proceed.
What is this 12-6 garbage?
I
do have to say this now. You guys are probably, both of you actually are probably going to jump on me for this. But I actually finally, just the other day, saw Death Tunnel.
What?
Sean, turn off the Colts game.
No, I heard my mic cut out and my speakers said Tunnel or something.
We're in the death tunnel. Yeah, we're in it.
Great.
Oh, you see Death Tunnel, the Booth Brothers thing.
Yes, yes, they did. The Colts were there. Great. It was a beautiful thing. The Colts and the Booth Brothers, they both shot together. It was a beautiful
thing. Wow.
No. They were telling Peyton Manning to get out of the shot. It was great. It was great. No, seriously.
Could you get Peyton Manning out of me picture show?
Can we remove Peyton Manning, please?
It is.
He's in. We're trying to film a movie, and we can't film the movie with Peyton Manning right there in the middle of the movie. Did I mention we were filming a movie? It's
I think you guys are going to be the only impression of the Booth Brothers that are entered in contest.
I think so.
But hey, I didn't win it. So.
You can actually check out, if you go to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter video page, you can actually check out Jason Gowan and I doing the Booth Brothers imitation. So it's,
hey! That's worth checking out, guys.
Thank you.
No, I do have to say, okay, there was a purpose for me not watching Death Tunnel. I mean, I was so swamped with horror films the last couple of years. I mean, you know, everything was going nuts. I had so many things happening. So I finally, you know, you see it, the box art isn't that great. You're like, oh, God, it's going to be another crappy film. Well, okay, guys, brace yourselves. Nathan, get your finger off the button. I have to be honest, okay? This is Gigi's honesty hour, all right? I'm going to lay down the truth. I actually never saw this movie because I wasn't sure what to think of the Booth Brothers. I actually, and this is dead serious, I thought you were, you know, I'd heard some stuff as far as from the filmmaking community. I, you know, didn't know if these guys were good. I didn't know if they were, you know, just making another crappy movie. You know, I wasn't sure what it was. I had heard that they had done other stuff, but I wasn't sure. I'd never seen their stuff. So I actually wasn't rushing out to watch it. So, you know, I had heard stuff, whatever. I saw, you know, they had done Spook, Children in the Grave, all that stuff, right? Okay, well, hanging out with you guys, you talk about the Booth Brothers and, you know, the whole show and, you know, you have the clip from them and everything. And I was like, you know, I really have to see Death Tunnel. I mean, it's just almost sacrilegious that I don't watch it. So I'm like, I have to see this. Well, I kept putting it off. So I finally went and watched it. And I have to say, guys, it was pretty, I almost swore on air, but it was pretty darn good.
Thank you, Gigi, for catching yourself.
Oh my God, I was that close. I was like, oh, wait, stop. No, I'm serious. I actually was not going to see this because I thought the Booth Brothers might be some hacks, you know, in the filmmaking thing. And that's the honest truth. I'm not sugarcoating it at all. Then I you know, could that even be considered sugarcoating it? I'm not sure. But, so I actually watched it, right? And I'd have to say, personally, it rocked to me because Waverly Hills is one of my most favorite places in the country, in the world, perhaps. It's one of my just absolute most favorite haunted places. I love the history. I love everything about it. When I was there, just crazy stuff happened. So, I mean, I love it. I love everything to do with it. And you know me and buildings and history and all that jazz. So what I loved about Death Tunnel, all you horror fans out there rolling your eyes and you think it's just another schlocky film sitting on a Blockbuster shelf. But seriously, they made this is what really totally got me with the Booth Brothers was that they made Waverly Hills the star of the film. They weren't like all these other hacks that go into a haunted place, shoot this ridiculous story that has nothing to do with anything, and try to live off the fame of having shot there. They actually took all the so-called stories and, you know, things that happened in history, and they said, you know, we're going to make this part of the film. We're going to basically make this almost half documentary-ish. And that was cool because, I mean, I like to see a film. You got the old building. You got the history. Use the history. You know, that's scary enough as it is. Use it. And the Booth Brothers did, and I thought that was so cool. The story itself about the five college girls that, you know, get stuck in there, have to go through the initiation. That was kind of like, okay, you know, I'm seeing the, you know, I'm seeing some cliches here, but I let it go because the way that they wove the actual Waverly Hills ghosts into it, I was like, that's awesome. You're using history and you're using it efficiently. And then, you know, I was looking at their techniques. They had great camera work. You know, there wasn't a lot of bad effects. you know, how you watch these films, you're like, oh God, I can't stand that, oh God, I can't stand that. No, I was actually like, wow, you guys impressed me. You know, I was actually really impressed. So, I don't know, I have to say, Booth Brothers, you guys get a little clap, because you actually convinced me that you can, you guys are good filmmakers. So, I don't know.
So you gave the Booth Brothers the clap.
I gave them the clap, literally. And I'm sending them the cream in the mail, because I'm like passing that around, everybody.
Oh, there you go.
But just to warn people when they meet me at a convention. But no, seriously though, I was really like not ragging on them, but I was really just in the negative column whenever you know their stuff would pop up. I was like, I don't know about this. Watch Death Tunnel, and I'm seriously like, hey, you guys are all right in my book. And that's what I'm saying. It's just the way that they did it, the way they took the story. Like I said, there was a little cliche in the five college girls thing, but you know.
Love the college girl thing.
Yeah, I bet you do. You can't really fault them for that. That's, you know, they're weaving in horror aspects. That's just expected. But the other thing I got was, I think the one thing I didn't like was that they were related to people at Waverly. I didn't like that. It just screamed a lot of remake stuff. That was House on Haunted Hill. That was a lot of crap that come out in the last 7 years. So I wasn't digging that, but everything else was stellar in my book. And the effects, especially the physical effects, I really am like a hyena all over that stuff. I'm just like, ah, what is this? Ah! You know, I'm
so
like totally dissecting.
You liked my picture show.
I did. I liked it. I liked the physical effects. They were decent looking. I was like, hey, fast as my book. And then what was even cooler is on the DVD, when you go to the behind the scenes little featurette, they all talk about Waverly Hills, talk about the history. There's, you know, pictures from the Waverly Hills Historical Society on there. And then what just kind of pushed it for me was that each person talked about experiences they had shooting there. That is awesome. That made it stellar in my book. So, I mean, I'm actually going to go out and buy this now just for the whole Waverly Hills aspect of it.
Right. Right. So well, you know what? I watched that too when it came on. I actually rented Death Tunnel, and I thought it was a pretty good movie. And it's one of those cuddle up with a blanket on a Saturday afternoon in the fall time kind of movies on the Sci-Fi Channel. I dig it. I liked it. I thought it was building up to the Children of the Grave and whatever you call that one they did on Sci-Fi Channel. I thought it was a build up for all that stuff, but it was a good one.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like I said, the story that they wove into it was sort of, you're kind of like, I don't know if I can cling to this. But once they introduced Waverly Hills, I mean, they don't call it that in the movie, but once they introduced it, they introduced the history, and they actually wove actual rumors, actual ghost stories, actual history into the story. That sold it for me. Because Waverly Hills is such an interesting place. It's so amazing. So just, I mean, full of energy. It's just, you know, it's harrowing. It's you know, there's sadness. There's turmoil. There's, you know, a sort of a sour note. There's a little bit of happiness, a little bit of hope. I mean, all of that just screams from the screen when you look at Waverly Hills. And, I mean, they wove it right into the story. That was awesome. And I mean, I got a personal kick because, you know, being there, you're like, oh my God, that happened to me there. Oh my God, I did this. I mean, I was a little upset because I would have been probably excited if a nurse, like, chased me down the hall with an axe. That might have been exciting to me, but, you know, hey, gotta take it as I can get it.
But you can't get killed everywhere you go, you know?
I know. I can't get chased everywhere by an axe. I mean, it's just, it happens a lot. So
I will chase you next time I see you, I promise you.
I don't know. I thought I'd mention it because I know you guys are big Booth Brothers fans, and I was sort of in the negative category for a while with that. I actually said, you know what? I have to see this. I am probably the last person on Earth that has seen this, which is rare because I'm usually, you know, getting all these things right before they come out. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to finally catch up, take a look at this, check these Booth Brothers out. Hey, they sold me, guys.
Yeah, they got some good stuff, man, and they've done some more. They did Death Tunnel. And something else, I can't remember the name of
it
right now.
It would be called Spook, Sean. It was
something else that came out.
Sean, yeah, well, it was called Spook.
Right, it was called Spook, but they did another thing too, Nathan.
They're working on the new one now.
No, not even the new one now. Before they did Death Tunnel, they did one more.
Okay.
I can't think of the name.
That makes great for great radio while we sit there and try to remember it.
We're all like, what's that? Ribs! I haven't eaten ribs in 8 years!
So,
so on a 1 to 5 dead college girls, Gigi, how what do you rate Death Tunnel there?
I'm gonna give this a 7 because man, Waverly Hills.
Hey, 1 to 5, and you got a 7. That's better than normal.
Waverly Hills is awesome stuff.
All right, Gigi. Hey, do you want to know our international listeners this week?
Of course I do. I got to hear where our crazy fans are coming from, you know, especially if Manila's still out there.
Manila's still out there, but we didn't get a hit this week. But it still exists. So
what'd you say?
It still exists. So it was I actually was watching a television show the other day, and someone on the show mentioned Manila, and I was like, oh my gosh, I wish Gigi was here with me to see this.
That's awesome.
But we did have listeners, and let me see if I can get these right. I've not practiced saying any of these at all, so I'm just going to try and go with them. In Chino, Japan.
Japan!
Hey, Chino. You know, I'm bowing to you right now.
Yes.
This is the one that got me. It's in Brazil. And I'm going to say it's Granota do Norte. Do Norte? I don't know.
Interesting.
And then in Mexico, Salinas, S-A-L-I-N-A-S, Salinas, Mexico. I don't know. It sounds like something I yell to Sean all the time. Salinas!
Cerveza! Cerveza, Mexico. Loves it. Cerveza. We're huge.
I heard you pop it open another cerveza during the break, too.
I've heard two or three since we got started. So.
That was Coca-Cola, kids.
Uh-huh.
I don't drink and do podcasts.
And he would never stop and watch a football game during the show.
I'm not watching a game. Let me tell you something.
I'm upset, man. It's Colts are losing. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. I'm not paying no attention. I'm not watching it. I got my guitar, though. Would you guys like me to sing a song about it?
You didn't see that touchdown the other team just got, so.
What? They scored a touchdown? Hey. I got a song I wrote about it.
Oh, no. Sean, we'd rather hear the Banshee.
Has Sean turned into Adam Sandler or something? Like, when did you start playing music?
Guys, Gigi, we're going to have to take a break while Sean tunes his guitar and hopefully doesn't sing. And, I guess you'll be going over now to the GG studios and start getting ready for the GG Variety Hour there.
I'm setting up. We've got a crazy show tonight, and I am going to talk more about Waverly Hills because I'm on some crazy kick, and I got some other stuff I'm rambling about. So if anybody wants to check it out, head over to blogtalkradio.com/GGshow.
You're stoned.
All right, GG. Right, we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
And thank you, Blues Brothers, for making me a believer.
There you go.
Me too.
Well, Sean, we're gonna go and check out a band called Shih Tzu.
Shih Tzu, like the poodle.
I picked this song since summer's kind of over now, and everybody's done with their summer. It's called Surfing. So stick around, and we'll be right back with who's our first guest tonight, Sean?
First guest, guys, Mr. Brian Wilson Sr. He's the star of the Booth Brothers, Children of the Grave. Stay tuned.
I'll see you guys next week if Nathan doesn't fire me.
There you go.
All right, babe. You're on the payroll.
It's coming. The 7th Annual Mid-South Paranormal Convention will be taking over Louisville, Kentucky, September 26th and 28th. The Louisville Ghost Hunters Society has went all out this year to bring some of the most amazing speakers, vendors, and activities together under one roof at the Executive Inn in the heart of Louisville. For ticket prices, hotel accommodations, and any other info on the 7th Annual Mid-South Paranormal Convention, visit LouisvilleGHS.com.
On fall the mainstream, surfing in India. Oh,
Hickory, North Carolina is alive with Talk About the Dead. www.hauntedhickory.com is celebrating the paranormal October 3rd and 4th with classes and lectures by Patrick Burns of Haunting Evidence on True TV, Keith Age from Sci-Fi Channel Spooked and Children of the Grave, Tim and Trish Yancey plus Jason Gowan from Encounters Paranormal Radio, Nathan Schoonover of The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show, Stephen LaChance from Discovery Channel's A Haunting, and Shannon Sylvia of Sci-Fi Channel's Ghost Hunters International, plus vendors, a hearse contest, and much more. Participate in a live ghost hunt in the haunted west wing of the Hickory Salt Lock. Haunted Hickory in Hickory, North Carolina, October 3rd and 4th. www.hauntedhickory.com. Make plans to attend now.
Okay, well, if anyone else wants to call in and talk on the G&D show, all they have to do is dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the conference code, enter 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
Hi, this is Kalila Smith of Haunted History Tours in New Orleans, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Sean, we're back after a week, and things have just been crazy, and I know I'm getting feedback, and the system isn't working right, and I can only apologize to everybody a few hundred times over.
Yeah, me too. But, man, Kalila Smith, we just heard her again. You guys do not know Kalila until you've seen her in a black dress.
Oh, do you know I just saw her on TV tonight, Sean?
Huh?
I just saw her on TV tonight.
Where'd you see her?
I was watching Discovery Channel, and they have a show on about urban legends, and they were talking to her about legends about, I think it was about people getting dying, being buried alive. I think that's what it was. And
well, she's all over the place, brother, with the voodoo and hoodoo and whatnot.
Yeah, and they asked her some questions about that one, and I think she was asked about some stuff about you know, magic spells being cast and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it was, but I saw her, I was like, well, we know her!
Oh, yeah, and she's smoking hot, too, buddy. I mean, she'll tear the internet waves up, I'm telling you.
Hey, why is it that we know everybody on TV, but nobody seems to know us when we call them and say, hey, how you doing? And or if we see them in public, we wave and they pretend like they don't know us.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? If you were somebody else, would you wave back at us?
When I see myself in a mirror, I don't wave back.
But you know what, hey, guys? Tonight's guest, first up, Demon Hunter, we got the guy from the Booth Brothers Children of the Grave in the house, Mr. Brian Wilson Sr. He's going to be talking to us about all kinds of weird stuff that happened to him while he was filming and all the great places he's been to. So let's bring him on. Brian Wilson Sr., sir, how you doing?
I'm doing real good, guys. How you doing?
Good. Well, hey, Brian, what part of the Booth Brothers film Children of the Grave were you in?
I wasn't really in the film. I have credits on the research project for Gore Road Orphanage. And a lot of the footage that was shot probably won't be in until the next one, Possessed. Because Christopher said they shot so much that they just couldn't put it in the first one. So they're going to put it in the second one.
Now, what was the name of that orphanage?
Gore Road Orphanage.
Now, what's that like, Brian? Are you like an urban explorer? You just go out there, man, and...
I go everywhere.
You get around, huh?
Yeah. Well, what had happened, I met Christopher down at the Mid-South. And he was wanting to do a piece on the Gore Road Orphanage, and he found out we were from Ohio. And so it just kind of snowballed from there.
Right. So well, tell us a little bit of can you tell us something about the orphanage, the story?
Well, it was back in 1927. It was called the Swift Mansion. And it burned down. And the only thing that's left right now is the foundation. But there's eerie things that go on there. There's, you know, different stories about people seeing children on fire. I've gotten orbs there, I mean, moving orbs, not the kind that, you know, the dust little particles. I mean, like, glowing, moving orbs. Right. And then when I was on the bridge going there, I stopped and was taking some pictures, and I see these two glowing eyes coming out of the, right by the road, staring right back at me.
Now, those couldn't be like coyotes or something like that, could it?
No, because the animal eyes are, you know, more or less red. These were yellow.
So okay, and
I just kind of shrugged that off a little bit.
So yellow eyes staring back at you. Did you run over and investigate?
I went over after I reviewed the pictures to see if there was anything reflective on the road that could have reflected back, and there was nothing there. I mean, no reflectors, no nothing. And that was that was pretty freaky.
Well, yeah. So this is just basically a dark road, Brian.
Yeah. And the orphanage sets off to the road in some woods, and really got to know where you're going to get there.
Right.
It's up in Lorain City Park zone. And they really don't like a whole lot of people there late at night.
So did you have to get permission to be out there, or did they let you come out? Or?
Yeah, I had permission from the park ranger. He'd come by during the day and talk to him. And he said the reason they don't allow community people out there at night is because a lot of kids go down there and party, get drunk, get lost in the woods, and they got to go find them.
Right.
Now, what's been spotted out there? Are there ghosts out there? Is it supposedly a demonic area?
Yeah, there you know, people say that they can see, like, flames and, you know, ghostly apparitions and everything there.
And now, what's the story? Yeah. I mean, did the kids get abused and killed out there, or what?
Oh, yeah, the kids were really abused. They, back in the day, that's before they had regulations, the orphanage. So these people would just take them in because they were getting paid.
Now, did you go out there with your group? Do you have a group, or?
It's just me and my lead investigator. We were up there.
And I'm sorry, I interrupted you while you were starting to say something about the orphans there. Go ahead.
Yeah, the orphans, you know, they were very badly mistreated. They would, the pot they washed their clothes in, they fixed their meals in, you know, they only got a sheet to sleep with in the wintertime, rats would attack them, and they did a lot of things to the kids. And before the story is that the groundskeeper there did not like kids, and he was the one that set it on fire. There's different stories. Some say some kids died in the fire. Some say they're, you know, not. But I think the negative side of it, when they're saying nothing happened, is I think the Parks Department wants to keep just everybody out there, you know, that's just doctors, and so they can kind of preserve it a little bit.
So it's not a place they let us go camping or anything like that, really?
No. No, when I went there the first time, I think I was there maybe 10 minutes, and there was a park ranger right there.
Wow.
I mean, right now. So I was talking to him and everything. He was a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, so you got this place out there. Now, the orphans, they were badly abused and everything. We know that. Now, we know back in the old days, Brian, sometimes they didn't have money. They'd bury them kids right out back. Was there any of that stuff going on?
There is no gravestones out there, and I don't have no concrete proof that any of the children were buried there. The only story I got about any of the kids being really them being in the fire. And I know some children died out there, but where they were buried at, I couldn't find no information on it. They could be there on the ground, unmarked grave.
Now, isn't there something that the FBI uses with radiation? What is that procedure? Where they use radiation, they put it in the ground, they can find skeletons?
Well, they use sonar, and they use
ground-penetrating radar.
Radar.
Yeah. I wonder if we could ever go out there like that, get somebody to survey the land, because you know what? That's a... They would have to. If there was any belief that there's bodies buried out there, they would have to go out there and do that.
Yeah, I believe myself that there is body, kids buried out there, because if the kids died in the orphanage, they're not going to make a big deal about, putting them in a graveyard.
Right.
They're just going to throw them somewhere.
Well, I don't know if you remember the one orphanage here from Indiana, but the Children of the Grave mentioned it. It was a, I was just out there last weekend, brother, at the Crown Hill Cemetery in Indianapolis, Indiana. And it was a huge pit, guys, for the longest time. And you know what I'm talking about, right, Brian?
Yeah.
And they just put up a monument.
600 and some bodies buried there.
Yeah, yeah. And they just... they just put up a monument of two little kids dancing, and that's all they can do. I mean, they don't even know all the kids' names. They just know they're buried.
The girl wrote an orphanage with the mansion burning down. A lot of the records were lost.
Right.
And one other freaky thing was when I was out there a second time, I was just doing some day shop, and I had my camera, and I was going to the entrance of it. And Christopher got the photo. And I just took a photo of the entrance, clear day, nothing. Well, I've seen some, white mist across the front of it. Well, when I got it home and checked it on the computer, it was the outline of the mansion.
Wow.
Right at the entrance to the road that goes down there.
Now, did you overlay the one on top of the other so you could see the outline, or did it just look like that?
No. It just looks like that. Because the only photo I got of the mansion is online or offline, and it just shows the layout of it. There's maybe a couple, two or three pictures of the mansion itself, but this was the actual front of it, like an architect drawing, and it matched up perfect.
Well,
it was
apparently
really cool.
Apparently that place has got so much energy to it, the actual building is coming up in photos.
Yeah.
So I guess you're saying
really
this isn't like a residual haunting, that there's live stuff going on there. Did you get any EVPs or anything like that?
No, I didn't get no EVPs. That was the only thing I didn't get. I had my cameras and everything set up, and I didn't get no EVPs that day I was there.
So, Brian,
let's
talk about you real quick, man. How did you get involved in this stuff?
About 21 years ago, my daughter, she died in a car crash.
And
I've always really been interested in it. And since that happened, I'm just, off and on. And then in about the past 5 years, I kicked it up to a more professional level. I've watched some of the shows, talked to the people at the convention and everything, and they've imported this equipment, that equipment, and so it's been been a really good ride.
Now, Brian, can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
I have kids of my own. I have two beautiful boys.
Yeah.
And if something were to happen to them, I'd go crazy. I'd go clinically insane. So when something like that happens to you, brother, do you go away from the paranormal, or do you get in closer with the paranormal, do you think?
Me, I get in closer to it.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to find the answers, is there life after death? Yeah.
Well, that will work in several different ways, too. If you remember, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle got very big into the paranormal and spiritualism because his son passed away. And then Harry Houdini got into the paranormal trying to disprove it because his mother passed away, and they both wanted answers.
Yeah, so, right now, with some of the stuff I've experienced, I do believe there is an afterlife. There's just too much going on. People are starting to find, stuff at places like, figures and getting EVPs now. Equipment's getting better and everything. So, yeah, I do believe there has to be.
What do you think it is, though, Brian, that they can't just come right up to us and say, hey, Pop, here I am, or hey, I'm your grandpa, here I am? I mean, what is it? What is the big trick, man?
I think what it is that they have to exude a lot of energy to manifest themselves.
Right.
And I think the more energy you can give off to them, you know, with whatever kind of energy it is they feed off of, that's when they're going to start showing themselves.
Right.
And there's one graveyard I go to all the time. I've been for years studying it. And one weird thing down here, if I take somebody's strange down, I don't get nothing. They won't even come around. I won't get no pictures, no nothing.
So if we went with you, you wouldn't get nothing?
Probably not. But what I did, I've been going down there for so long that I talked to them and I got a more of a rapport. And like the other day I was down there and I had a 2 meter. I thought, well, let's see if we can get this to work. That was the first.
Right.
Somebody was telling me on it.
So,
I pretty
mean,
cool.
I did a lot of cemetery research myself. I remember before I'd go to work every day, I'd go and I'd set up a recorder and I'd spend at least an hour to 45 minutes in the cemetery. Well, hello, dog.
That is not an EVP, ladies and gentlemen. There's not a ghost dog.
Yeah, that's my dog, Duchess. Somebody went down the street.
Hello, Duchess. You're such a good dog. Yes, you are. But they got you know, you go to these places, and I used to set up my recorders and do EVP in the cemetery, and I got some stuff. But it seemed like the more time I spent there, Brian, the more stuff I got.
Yeah, the more you go and you get a report with them, and they know that you're not going to hurt them or
Anything. With Sean, what it was the more times he showed up, the more he got EVPs that were saying things like, go away, stop bothering us.
Oh, man, that's crazy. Man, I tell you, I did, man. The more time you guys spend in a haunted location, the more stuff you get. And it's what Brian said, it's like building a rapport with these people. They figure you out. They say, hey, this cat comes here every day. Let's give him something, or let's talk to him. Or maybe your psychic senses open up a little bit more. I don't know, but it happens, Brian.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
So tell us more about it, man. You did the orphanage. What else have you done? What's some more of the big stuff you've done?
Well, the hills. I did that 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And oh, that was a trip. That place is amazing. It was pouring down the rain that night we went. I mean, and roof was leaking. We were soaked. I mean, it was just water everywhere. It was like six inches of water running right down the depth tunnel when we walked down there. Well, I should have said we slid down it. Because of all the water. But when I was there, they had to go through what they call the Hall of Shadows, you know, where they see shadow people all the time. Well, I was walking down there by myself. You know, they had us walking down there one at a time by ourselves. They wouldn't let us film it for some reason. And I was coming back, and I looked in one of the rooms, and I seen this little 4-foot-high shadow. Yeah. And I walked right in front of one of the pillars and blocked it out. So I just watched it as it disappeared into the wall, right across the room. Well, I never thought, no, you know, no more. I went up and told them. I said, you know, I've just seen a shadow person. I see that. They said, oh, that happens all the time. Okay. So I get back to the hotel room, and I'm taking off my wet clothes. I take off my shirt, and there's these scratches and letters on my side. And I know it had to come from that time. Is when I saw that shadow person.
Scratches?
And I got pictures on my website. Yeah, they were scratches and letters. We made out the word dad, and there was an X underneath it.
Do you think that was your daughter?
I don't know. because they said that one of the entities that haunt that area most of the time is a little kid, a little boy.
Right.
So I don't know if that was him trying to communicate with me or what, but I got the pictures up on my website.
So do you believe that areas like this just kind of attract ghosts, and by going there, spirits you're interested in talking to, like if wanting to speak to your children or something like that, they're more likely to be able to come through in an area like this?
Yeah, I think they could. Because, you know, a place with that much history and that much energy in it all the time, because, you know, there's always something happening down there.
See, and one of the problems I have is people ask me all the time if I've ever had any experiences with the people I know who have died. And, you know, except for maybe one occurrence, I've never even had an inkling that somebody I know has come back. I do believe, but I've never had that experience, so I almost wonder if...
Inkling.
I like that word, inkling. You know, if we go out and we're looking for spirits... If it's less likely that somebody you knew could come through, even with the attachment you had with them, maybe the ghosts are just out there and they can't figure out who they're speaking to. So maybe you're less likely to hear from who you want to hear from.
Because, you know, a lot of them probably don't know they're dead. They probably, you know, still think that they're still alive. And,
on the other hand, I'd like to think that my father isn't floating around somewhere. I'm glad to know that he's... I'm hoping he's someplace better, you know, and that he doesn't have to come around here and float around.
Yeah, that's true with my daughter. You know, I hope she is in a better place than out roaming around somewhere and nobody knows, you know, don't know.
You know what, though? In the immortal words of George Carlin, when do we just get to lay around on a freaking cloud and float around? That's what I want to know, huh? That don't sound bad to me at all. I just want to lay on a cloud, play a harp, and float around. If you guys want to talk to me, sounds just fine to me. No taxes, no property taxes, no clothing taxes, no grocery taxes. Just float on a cloud.
So, do you go out and investigate for people? If somebody is looking for an investigator, can you go investigate a home, or do you do research?
I did one home. But I can't discuss it because I did it for Spook Productions, and I'm under a non-disclosure agreement with them.
No, I do those all the time, so I understand that.
Yeah, I can't really say where it was at, but it was a woman that was being attacked in her house. And that night I didn't really get nothing. And she ended up moving from the place. She just said it. Just freaked her out too much, and she lived alone, and it just freaked her out, and she had to move. She moved in with her sister, and that was kind of weird. As far as any other houses, no, I haven't really done. The only other house I did was I did Whispers of Stay. I was there.
That's Sean's favorite place in the whole world.
What, prison?
Well, that night.
Stop watching TV, Sean. He's talking about Whispers Estate.
No, I heard Whispers. It came through, but it cracked out on me a little bit.
Yeah, that night I was there. There was this other group there, too. And I don't know what their problem was, but there was this one girl there. All you heard was her voice all night long. I mean, it was just all over the place. She never shut up.
It's like, that was a living girl.
Yeah, I was a living girl in the group. She never shut up. She giggled. She laughed.
See, when Sean was there, they had a non-living girl that they heard all night who wouldn't shut up.
Right, so, and I was with her. No. I mean, the living girl I was with. You heard her moan all night.
So they finally, I don't know if they calmed down or passed out or what, around 4 o'clock. And I had my equipment set upstairs in the attic. And when they all quieted down, and then on the tape, you can hear like somebody trying to blow out a candle. And then somebody clapping. And I associated the blowing out of the candle because the little girl, Sarah, that lived there, you know, burned up in the fire from candles being on the Christmas tree.
On the Christmas tree, yeah.
Yeah, and it sounded just like somebody trying to blow out a candle. And then when I went down and got my equipment, because we were closing up the investigation, I passed by the bathroom. I smelled this. It smelled just like being in a doctor's office. That antiseptic, clean smell.
That was the downstairs bathroom, right, Brian?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I smelled it real strong, and then I went into the bathroom, and when I come back out, it was gone. And they said that was the doc.
Well,
they said, yeah. They said he does that.
Brian, we're actually going to have to wrap up. Where can people find your information if they want to check you out?
I'm at www.iamhaunted.com/silverbat6 and Cemetery Walker on MySpace.
All right, and remember, you'll be able to find Brian's information on the Ghostman and Demon Hunter website under past guests as well. Brian, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
All right. I appreciate you guys having me on. I had a great time.
Thanks, you too, thanks, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. Hey, Sean, we got to take a quick break. Who do we have on next when we get back?
Well, we got two hot paranormal chicks. We got Janice Oberding, and we also got, you know what just got me? I did not put the founder of the Nevada Paranormal Research Group. She's coming up.
That would
didn't
be Carolyn, and I'm trying to say this, Griffith.
Griffiths, that's it, Griffiths, and I did not put her name on there, so I apologize to her right away.
Fortunately, wow. Sean, I put her on the website, so we're all good to go, and we'll be back right after this.
Stay tuned, guys. Double Shot Paranormal coming at you.
Just when you thought you've seen it all, here comes Scarefest 2012 with real ghost hunters, cryptozoologists, paranormal experts, even exorcists. We've also invited stars from the House of a Thousand Corpses, the Devil's Reject, and we're hosting our very own Friday the 13th reunion. Make plans now to meet your favorite stars at the Scarefest, the biggest horror and paranormal convention in the Southeast, September 12th to 14th at Lexington, Kentucky's Lexington Convention Center. We're waiting for you right now at thescarefest.com. Just don't come alone.
Attention, paranormal investigators in New Jersey and beyond. Be warned, this is not a parafest and not a social conference. This is intense. The Paranormal Intensive 2008 is coming to Hackettstown, New Jersey on Saturday, September 20th. This all-day event will offer workshop after workshop to hone your skills and broaden your investigative knowledge of the paranormal. Pick and choose the workshops you want at only $25 each. You can register online at www.njghs.net/paraintensive.html using PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa. That night, enjoy a buffet dinner and spirit circle with Jane Doherty, psychic medium at the haunted Charlie Brown Steakhouse in Hackettstown. This event is $60 per person and includes the dinner, tax, tip, and spirit circle in the private dining room on the second floor of this former hotel, where the young, distraught girl drowned in the bathtub and haunts this place to the day. Seating for this event is severely limited, so register online ASAP. The Paranormal Intensive 2008, September 20th, Hackettstown, New Jersey. Be there.
Hey, this is Balthazar Shantisan, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. Welcome to New Orleans and the vampire community.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
This is why we don't have an album,
hello.
Sean. Whoa.
Hey, man, did we get a hold of both our guests tonight?
I do believe we did. I believe that Carolyn and Janice are both sitting in the chat room.
Yes, Carolyn is here.
Janice?
I'm here.
Hey, we got them both. Isn't that awesome?
Oh, my goodness, they're both in the house. Carolyn, her picture she sent was too hot. We couldn't put it on the MySpace page because we'd have got ran off there.
We would have gotten in trouble with all the censors. But we put it on our homepage, so we're all good.
We did, and I put it on my wall as a poster, too, so.
Oh, so you can throw darts. Hey, all right.
What's going on, ladies?
Oh, not much. Just thought we'd call in and see how you guys are doing tonight. How about you?
Yeah, we're doing okay, I guess. But, you know, we got you, we got Janice. We got you and we got Janice on tonight, and you guys got the Paracon 08 coming up.
Yeah.
Are you excited about it?
Yes, very excited. Something totally different.
You know, we picked that entry there with Balthazar because he kind of reminded me of the guy you have up as the host there on Paracon.
Oh, Don Henry, the vampire. Yeah.
That's right. We have Vampire Don. He's actually the first to come out and admit to the public that he actually is a vampire.
Oh, wow.
Now, a few weeks ago, we actually had a member of the Vampire Church, one of the heads of the Vampire Church down in New Orleans, who, yes, it's a secret organization down there, but they've become more and more public and, you know, allowed people more information. Is Vampire Don a member of, like, the vampire community?
Actually, yes. Boga Lead is working in collaboration with Ooh La La Productions, which is Miss Janice and myself, and they are actually working also in connection with the TVD community, which is the Vampire Dawn community. So, yes, they are.
See, that's what I always tell the girls that I'm working with. Ooh La La Productions.
Yeah,
Ooh La La.
Ooh La La.
See, yes, usually when girls hear about Sean, they just go, ooh, the la-la left out.
That's not funny, but anyway. But anyway, let's hit Janice real quick. Janice, you got a hot new book coming out. Tell us all about it. I got to hear it.
The Haunting of Las Vegas. And it's about all the ghost and creepy stuff at Las Vegas and around Las Vegas.
Yeah. Can you give us a sneak peek?
Well, okay, we've got the ghost of Liberace, who's still there, and one of my favorites is Bugsy Siegel, who hangs out in the park at the Flamingo, the Rose Garden there. His ghost has been seen plenty of times. And, of course, we've got Elvis in Las Vegas. And we've just got a lot of creepy people and ghosts in Vegas.
Oh, wow. You got a lot of creepy people in Vegas, period.
Well, yeah.
Now be nice.
A lot of really interesting people, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know. I went down there once.
Huh? What?
I went down there one time to Vegas.
Mm-hmm. What happened in Vegas, stayed in Vegas, and that part of that was an agreement that Sean never come back.
Yeah, see, I was
poolside.
You know,
Las Vegas has a lot of different diverse cultures, that is for sure. However, you got to remember, they're the entertainment capital also of the world. So we have a lot going on.
So what's up with Paracon? Did you girls just wake up one day and say, let's do Paracon?
Yes, pretty much.
Really, that was... Well, that's interesting.
Now, were you like, was it like a psychic thing? You both woke up at the same time, called each other, the phones didn't even ring, you just happened to pick up and you were both on the line, and you said, Paracon!
Something like that. We were at another conference, and we decided, you know what, we could do a better job. We could do something exciting and different and unusual.
And hey, it's Vegas. I'm just looking forward to the showgirls.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's part of Vegas, and that's part of the, you know, part of the part we're having to explain to a lot of the curious folks out there with doing the investigating and the research groups, and that's certainly not to take away from any of that in any way. If they take a look at the bill, the speaker lineup speaks for itself as far as, you know, respectability and integrity. You know, we have Dr. Barry Taft, you know, we're going to be introducing Lloyd Auerbach. We have Marcus Lear. We have several very good speakers. Richard Sennett. They're at the top in their field.
Now, Carolyn, I noticed on the bill I didn't see the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Well, that might be, Sean, because we have no professionalism or integrity about us. So, you know, when you say showgirls, we're like, we're there. It's
You know what? We'll put you on there as soon as, you know, you and I keep answering each other's phone calls, we'll be all right. As long as we keep communicating. Mm-hmm. We'll get you on there. I love what you've done already.
Well, good. Then we're in the group.
Nobody complains about us being too serious on the show. Really, they don't. It's not a problem.
Yeah, we're never too serious. Okay. But I tell you what, Carolyn, you are the... Hold on a second. Let me get my paperwork out here. You are the founder of the Nevada Paranormal Research Group, right?
Yes, that's correct. I'm the founder of Nevada Paranormal Research Group. It's also known as NPRG, where we started about a year ago in Las Vegas and started doing the research ourselves, and we pulled together a team of people and went on some investigations, and we just love the whole research part of it. And so we're very serious about what we do. And that's, of course, aside from the conference, which is a whole totally different aspect, of course. But we do have a very serious research group. We work in connection with LVPI, which is Las Vegas Paranormal Investigation. Mike Carrico, which, by the way, if anybody wants to see the site, we're actually doing a lot of the web page right now. So this is actually going to be a launch for the new website that we have. And it's www.myspace.com/Paracon2008. And you'll be able to see everything we have. But yes, we work with LVPI, Mike Carrico, who's also one of our speakers, and also bringing a group as well. So we do a lot of work with a lot of the local groups.
Caroline, you better give that out. You better give that out one more time, Caroline, because I doubt anybody got to all that.
Oh, yeah, really? Or you want to try that again?
Let's do it.
The website, yeah, just myspace.com/Paracon2008.
Okay, you guys heard it here first on the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show. These girls are wound up and they're ready to go, and you guys don't want to miss Paracon 2008 because I know these two chicks are wild and crazy.
Now, are like either of you ladies in one of the showrooms right now in Vegas? Because I hear music in the background, and I was just
Carolyn's probably in the showroom. Are you in the showroom?
Now, see, you don't hear casinos, though. That's the whole thing. Only music, not casinos. So that's a good thing. Well, but casinos are good, though. I'm not telling you.
I'm just wondering if, like, we're hearing music when we could be watching girls spinning around on poles or something in the background. We're going to a video cam, if that's the case.
Could you be like my bookie, Caroline? Could I, like, place a bet on the Colts game tonight right now in the air? Is that possible? Or... I'm just saying, you're there, you know.
But you know
what? That's right.
You know,
in the town that never
sees the Ghost Divas. We forgot to mention the Ghost Divas are
going
to be there too at the conference.
Yeah, the Ghost Divas, Demon Hunter. They're going to be there.
Hey. Yeah, the original Ghost Divas.
I have not heard from the Ghost Divas in a while. We actually should contact. Last time we talked to them was in Decatur, Illinois.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah, they're in Florida right now. Two of them are in Florida, but yeah, they're going to be there.
We work the old road circuit with all these old cats and dogs from these little paranormal talk shows, man. We get to see them all.
So what are you going to be doing at this conference? You've given us some of the speakers, but what's some of the other stuff going to be going on? Like, will you be having shows of any kind? Will you be having, you know, you said it's going to be different. What's going to be different?
Well, entertainment. We're going to have a lot of different entertainment-type shows that ordinarily aren't at this type of conference.
That's correct, because actually what we have is kind of like a double ticket, guys. We have on the one side, we have the top paranormal speakers that are around, and then on the other side, we have the top entertainment that's around. For instance, Asia Divinal is releasing the first-time release of Mayor Oscar Goodman, who is actually the mayor of Las Vegas, and also of Vampire Dawn Henry. So she's going to be, you might know her actually from the show Search for the Next Elvira.
Yeah.
And you can go to her website as well, www.myspace. Yep.
Glitter bitches.
You can click on everything there on the website. Everything is clickable. It's geek-friendly. You can do everything. Just go to the website and click on anything. We have travel. and flight packages. Everything is on the website. So anybody right. that's interested needs to go to the website. We have bands. We have vendors. We have bands. We have artists. We have authors. We have a magician show. We have a lot of things.
Well, I'm interested, and I'm going to go tonight, and I'm going to check it out. I'll tell you that right now, Caroline. Okay. I want to go. Janice, I want to talk to you about the book, though. Living in Las Vegas, as I assume you have in the past, or you do now, yeah?
Yes.
What is that like, researching the ghost of the rich and famous?
Well, it's fun. Well, it's the same as when you research any ghost. I mean, like I did when we investigated, we were actually able to investigate Liberace's home. And that was, you walk into this house, and on the outside it looks like an ordinary home. On the inside it's like, did somebody really live this way? I mean, it's fabulous, but it's not gaudy. You get to see these people. When you get to go into places where they live, like the Red Fox home, you see these people more as just people like anybody else. I mean, they...
Now I've heard this horrible rumor that people have spread around that Liberace was gay, and I just wish people would stop saying those kind of things. I mean, that's how these rumors get started. What was special about the way he lived?
Well, he had, like, for instance, he had some artwork in there that was, 1000 B.C. and that type of thing. He had excellent taste. Now, I know he was gaudy on stage with all the sequins and all the furs and all that, but actually in his home it was quite elegant and understated, like the columns that were 1000 B.C., way back when type thing, and then Moroccan tile, and it was elegant, something... Not, you know, you would think with him I would have thought more gaudy and stuff like that, but it was quite understated and elegant. And a nice big kitchen because he did like to cook. And he had a nice big room for his mother. Her closet was about as big as my living room. I mean, he was really good to his mom. And he was one of the private people, him and Frank Sinatra, only two private people in Nevada to have gaming license. That means they could have a slot machine in their home.
Wow. Wow.
Now,
I know I'm good to my mom. I bought
her
flowers last week.
Good. Oh, wow.
See?
Now, what do you have to do to get a gaming license? And you said he really loved his mom. He had a gaming license. Did his mom like the slots? Is that why he put the slot machine in the house?
His mother did. His mother did, and he... As she got old, he was worried, you know, of her going down to the casinos. Maybe she'd get mugged or something. So he got the gaming license so he could put a slot machine in there for her, and she could just sit right there in the house and play, you know, and he wouldn't have to worry what's she up to. She was right there. He knew where she was at all times.
Now, what kind of ghost do you see at Liberace's place? Is it just him, or is it his mother, or what?
Well, you know what? The person I went with... was actually my mom. And when we went there, she said to me, now I'm going to tell you what, if I see Liberace's ghost here, you're just going to have to get home the best way you can, because I'm going to... going through getting my photos and doing my EDP, and I look and I see her staring at the ceiling, and look, I said, what is wrong? She said, I saw some blue water coming down from the ceiling, and I was stepping around so I wouldn't slip on the tile floor. And I looked up, and there's no water coming down, but there's a blue paint. There was a painting of Liberace on the ceiling, all done in blue. So I think what was happening is he was just trying to let her know, I'm here, but you know I don't want to scare you because I don't want Janice to have to walk home. So I think that's what was going on. I think that's what was going on.
Maybe he was looking out for your mama.
Maybe he was. But, you know, he was a humanitarian. He was really a good person, and he donated a lot of money, left a lot of scholarship money for artists in Las Vegas. So he was really good like that. And there's a restaurant that he once owned, Carluccio's, that's haunted by him, too. And, you know, we have ghosts that are like 7,000-year-old civilization right outside of Las Vegas, so... Not all, you know, brand new from the 40s and Bugsy Siegel type stuff.
All right. Well, I know Bugsy Siegel has had a lot of stuff go on there. Mm-hmm. The way he died, and it was a very tragic death. What about Bugsy Siegel? I mean, what's the haunting there?
Well, he, you know, actually he was killed in Beverly Hills. And I think he came back because they do consider him the father of Las Vegas. He came there from California, and he was sent there from the East Coast, but he came from California, and I think he looked around and thought, hey, you know, this is all legal, all this gambling, we can make a pile of money here, and it's all legal. So he took his bosses into the Flamingo, and the cost overrun, he was being cheated, believe it or not, people were cheating him. He was being cheated, and they were losing a lot of money. And the bosses decided, I think what they decided is Bugsy was responsible. He was stealing from them. So I think they set the hit up. But he came back. I believe his ghost is there because he loved the Flamingo so much. He loved that area. And I think that's why he's there.
So you can still go out there and see Bugsy to this day, huh?
Well, I guess you can. I haven't seen him yet, but I've heard that he's there.
Can go out to the desert and find the spot where he is. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you can go out to the spot where he is. You know, the museum there has Bugsy's nail clippers, and they say Mr. Siegel. They don't say Bugsy. Mr. Benjamin Siegel's nail clippers, and the door to his suite is there, Mr. Benjamin's door, Mr. Benjamin Siegel's chandelier, and they have all that kind of stuff in the museum there. So you can go and really get up close and personal with Bugsy's stuff if you want to.
Wow.
Sean has a pair of nail clippers that are engraved, too, and they have the little toxic symbol on them, so that nobody touches them because we're worried about that kind of thing.
And I'll bring them, girls, if you want me to show up to the Las Vegas Paracon, so just let me know. You can touch my nail clippers.
At your own risk.
Oh, thank you.
That's what I'll do for you.
Okay.
So,
well, girls,
where do you want the people to? You said that you've got the MySpace site. Is that where people can get the information to get tickets, or is there another site they have to go to for tickets?
That's your one stop place for tickets. It's the MySpace/Paracon 2008. You can only get your tickets at that website, and also you can get everything right at the website.
Janice, where can people find the book?
Well, they can find it at any bookstore. It should be out. I think it's coming out the 1st of October. Barnes & Noble, Borders, any bookstore they ought to be able to.
Now, how can we get an autograph, Janice?
Well, let me know. Email me and let me know.
Okay. I'll let you know. We want some autographs. Our listeners, they love to get these books and stuff, and I'd love to have Janice Oberding sign the book.
Okay, email me. You have my email address.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And we're going to be hearing more about Paracon coming up over the next couple weeks, I'm sure. And the title of the book again, I've got it here, but I'm as bad
the
as Sean.
The Haunting of Las Vegas.
The Haunting of there it is, The Haunting of Las Vegas. And what are you hoping to happen with this book? Is this the kind of thing we might see, you know, some sightings episodes with some weird stuff? You said you guys are into not just the hauntings, but bizarre occurrences. What kind of bizarre occurrences were you talking about?
Oh, I think weird things, unusual things, like, for instance, there's an elephant, Shoney, that's buried there, and his ghost, to me, that's bizarre. An animal ghost is a little bit different. Things like at the Goldfield Hotel that... just that kind of stuff, just things that, you know, people would say, well, that's not really ghost, but it's weird nonetheless, things that happen. Sightings, I guess, that type of stuff, psychic things that happen that people have no way of explaining. For instance, Howard Hughes walking along the highway, getting picked up right outside of Goldfield, and then leaving all this money to the guy, you know, the will, that he really didn't leave, and his ghost is supposedly still seen walking along the highway. Just that kind of stuff.
Very, very interesting. Actually, that's the kind of stuff that gets me, is those historical stories that I really get into.
Well, weird Las Vegas. Weird Las Vegas and Nevada is another book that I worked on a little bit, and that's more like weird stuff that happens in Las Vegas and Nevada.
You worked on that with Mark and Mark?
Yep.
good friends of ours, Mark and Mark. We love Mark and Mark.
Yep, well, I did some of Weird Las Vegas for them.
Very cool. Well, ladies, we're going to have to wrap up for the evening. We've got a couple of technical issues I've got to fix here, and we just want everybody to know Paracon 2008 and the Haunted Las Vegas, is it?
Haunting of Las Vegas.
Haunting of Las Vegas. I got to do something about my handwriting. The Haunting of Las Vegas and Paracon, you can get the tickets off of the website. The website will be available on the MySpace, or the website will be available on the Ghostman and Demon Hunter events page. We'll put it up there on the events page. I just got to get a link from you ladies, and we will we will also connect it on our past guest page so people can come to ghostanddemon.com and get all the information.
Okay. And if you could let people know, we're also looking for interested vendors who'd like to be a part of the whole conference.
Of course. Vendors are a big deal. We'll help you out whatever way we can.
Okay. Thank you. We appreciate it so much.
Ladies, thank you so much for joining us here tonight.
Thank you for having us.
And Carolyn, it's Griffiths?
Griffiths,
I said it right, Sean.
You did.
Carolyn Griffiths and Janice Over... Now I messed up Janice's name.
Overdeen.
Yeah. Janice Overdeen and Carolyn Griffiths, thank you so much for joining us tonight, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank God.
Sean, I think it's time for us to wrap up this evening, and thank everybody for joining us tonight for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Absolutely, little brother. And be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log on to our forums because we really want to hear from you.
And don't forget, next week we have our friend, our buddy, our pal. He was on just not too long ago. That would be, it's Carlson, right, Sean? It's
Charlie Carlson.
Charlie Carlson. You might know him from Weird Florida. We know him from all the great stories he started telling us, but we just didn't have enough time to finish the last time he was on Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. He'll be back. Don't forget, if you missed our show with Charlie Carlson or any part of any show, including tonight's, you can check it out, Ghostman and Demon Hunter, at Planet Paranormal, Podomatic, Podcast Alley, iTunes, Mediafly, Podbean.com, Blueberry, Podcast Pickle, ParaX Radio, and now on the Black Vault Radio Network, as well as the PodFeed community.
Hey, don't go changing, Ghost Hunters. We won't. We love you.
That's right. Good night, everybody.
Night, guys.
So say good night to the bad guy. Yeah.